Welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. I really wanted to put out a Halloween-ish episode for all of you, and I thought, what is creepier than a real-life haunted house? So for today's episode, I'm going to be discussing the Whaley House, which is located in San Diego, California. In 2005, the Whaley House was named the most haunted house in America by Life magazine, and you'll find it featured on pretty much every list of haunted locations in the U.S. It is a favorite spot for ghost hunting, and both Ghost Adventures and BuzzFeed Unsolved have dedicated episodes to the Whaley House. I first heard of the Whaley House in high school when my English teacher, shout out to Mr. Carroll, brought in photos he took in the house, and he spent an entire class talking about his experience there. I'm not sure what educational purpose there was of this, but it was probably my favorite thing that I did in high school. I remember this very vividly, and I actually reached out to Mr. Carroll about the Whaley House when I did this episode, and he sent me some of those photos that he shared way back in, oh gosh, like 2005, I think it was. So I just got super interested in it because he did such a good job at telling his story of what happened to him there. Then in 2017, one of my favorite YouTube channels, BuzzFeed Unsolved, which is a BuzzFeed spinoff. I'm sure you've seen BuzzFeed. They do those little like quizzes and, you know, what potato chip am I? But they actually have this really cool like horror supernatural channel called BuzzFeed Unsolved. And it is hosted by two guys named Shane and Ryan. And they are both kind of, you know, somewhat skeptical of paranormal things. And they try to find logical explanations for what's happening. But in the Whaley House episode, they go in and they sit in the room that was used as the courtroom, which I will explain later. And one of the hosts, Ryan, experiences feeling very dizzy, feels cold, and gets a noticeable chill shiver up his spine. This video made me even more excited to research the Whaley House because the hosts aren't ones to really fake things like that, like in some other shows, Ghost Adventures. and I truly believe that Ryan really did experience something in there, and his experience sounds very familiar to stories that I've read from other people and what has happened to them in the Whaley House. Although I do live in California, I live way up north near the Oregon border, so it would be like a 12-hour drive for me to get to San Diego. I've never been there, but the Whaley House is definitely on my bucket list, and hopefully I can go visit it for myself one day. So even if you've also never been to the Whaley House or have never even heard of it, I hope that you still find today's episode entertaining because it's definitely a creepy one. You can find Weird on the Rocks at the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com, Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, and Twitter at weird_rocks. Please subscribe wherever you're listening now so that you always get the latest episode right when it's released. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share tonight's beverage of choice. Tonight, I am drinking yet another hard seltzer. I feel like every brand at this point has their own seltzer. But today I'm drinking the Vizzy brand, V-I-Z-Z-Y. And specifically, I'm drinking the pineapple mango flavor. It's delicious. In all honesty, most of the hard seltzers taste exactly the same to me. So I kind of just buy whatever's on sale. But I'm definitely a fan of seltzers in general. You can pretty much always find some kind of seltzer and white wine in my fridge because apparently I'm a basic bitch, but that's okay. I'm going to embrace it because they are delicious. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers and let's get weird. In the heart of sunny, warm San Diego, California, stands a building that, in the words of author Jane Studwick, has, quote, witnessed more history than any other building in the city, end quote. It is known as the Whaley House, and in 2005 was named by Life magazine as the most haunted house in America. The home, which is Greek Revival style, began construction by Mr. Thomas Whaley in 1855 and was completed in 1857. Thomas Whaley, his wife Anna, and their three children soon moved into the home. Within a few months, they opened a general store in the downstairs of the home. In 1858, after a year of living in the house, the Whaley's 18-month-old son, Thomas Whaley Jr., contracted scarlet fever and died. In the same year, the general store in the downstairs of the house caught fire, causing significant damage to the home and closing the store. After the trauma and heartache of the fire and losing their young son, Thomas decided to move his family to San Francisco. Thomas left the home in the hands of a friend who was able to repair the damage from the fire. In 1868, the Whaley family, which now had three more children, moved back into the home in San Diego. The family reopened the store, and the home also served as the headquarters for the city courthouse, and eventually was also the home of San Diego's first theater group. However, in the early 1870s, San Diego began construction on a new part of town, driving business away from Old Town where the Whaley House stood. In 1871, while Thomas Whaley was on a business trip, several armed men broke into the home and held Anna Whaley at gunpoint and stole vital courthouse records from the home. Although the Whaley family seemed to be experiencing one traumatic event after another inside this house, they decided to keep living there and raising their family. Several years later, two of the Whaley daughters were married inside the home. However, their daughter Violet's marriage was not a healthy one, and she eventually divorced her husband. At the time, divorce was extremely uncommon and looked down upon, which left Violet feeling depressed and judged. Eventually, the depression became unbearable for her, and in 1885, Violet shot and killed herself inside the home. She left behind a suicide note that read, quote, "Mad from life's history, swift to death's mystery, glad to be hurled anywhere, anywhere, out of this world," end quote. After their daughter's suicide, Thomas and Anna finally decided that they could not keep their family in the home any longer, and they built a new house nearby, leaving the Whaley House vacant. Thomas Whaley died in their new home in 1890 at the age of 67, and Anna Whaley died in Modesto, California in 1905. During this time, the Whaley home stood all alone, slowly falling into disrepair. In 1909, Thomas and Anna's son Francis decided to begin renovations on the abandoned home and soon opened the house up as a tourist attraction. Francis, along with several of his siblings and their spouses, all moved back into the home as adults and lived there together, with all of them dying inside the home between the years of 1913 and 1953, when the last Whaley family member died. In May of 1960, the Whaley House opened to the public as a museum and was managed by the San Diego Historical Shrine Foundation. Beginning in 2000, the home has been maintained by Save Our Heritage organization, and since 2007, a caretaker has lived on site to prevent theft and vandalism. Currently, the Whaley House offers both day and night tours, complete with tour guides dressed from the 1800s. The San Diego Sightseeing website says, quote, "Overwhelmingly praised as the first of its kind and the finest home in Southern California, the Whaley House was a central pillar of the 19th century Old Town community. Besides being the Whaley family home, it was also San Diego's first commercial theater, the county courthouse, and a general store. The legendary Whaley House is widely regarded as one of the most iconic landmarks in San Diego. From its rich Greek Revival architecture style and authentic decor to its mysterious past and unrivaled haunted pedigree, it's no wonder this home attracts visitors from all over the world. Spend the day exploring the family home of Thomas Whaley and be transported back to San Diego life in the 1800s. Grab a memorable souvenir at the Verna House, located directly behind the Whaley House, and stick around for a delicious meal at the New Orleans Creole Cafe. See what makes the famed Whaley House an absolute San Diego must-do experience," end quote. Over the years, visitors to the home, staff members, and construction workers have made reports of hearing strange sounds, getting the feeling someone is watching them, and even seeing spirits roam throughout the house. Perhaps the most well-known spirit that is said to haunt the Whaley House is that of Yankee Jim Robinson, a man who was convicted of stealing a boat and murdering someone in Northern California in 1852, and was hanged in the exact location where the Whaley House was later built. Jim was 6'4", and it was said that the gallows used to hang him weren't much taller than him, meaning that he did not die instantly, but instead twisted and groaned for half an hour before eventually dying. It is said that Thomas Whaley himself saw the ghost of Yankee Jim Robinson during the construction of the home, but it didn't deter him from continuing the building. And from the very beginning of their time in the home, the Whaley family reported hearing heavy footsteps going up and down the stairs when nobody was around. And visitors claim to have seen the actual ghost of Yankee Jim Robinson when touring the home. The website WeirdUS.com spoke to a woman named Deborah, who volunteered as a tour guide in the home, and said, quote, "I've heard a male voice clearing his throat when I'm in the dressing room changing into my costume," end quote. Thomas Whaley himself is also said to haunt the hallways of the home. Even though Thomas did not die in the house, it is believed that his spirit returned to the home because he loved the house and it was the only place his entire family ever lived altogether. People have reportedly seen Mr. Whaley standing at the top of the stairs next to the master bedroom and have even heard his laugh and smelled smoke from the cigars that he was always smoking. In her interview with Weird US, tour guide Deborah said, quote, "There was this man who didn't believe in ghosts and was very vocal about it. He was a police chief, and he said he was an atheist and the whole thing. He was standing in the hallway talking to one of the volunteers and was suddenly hit square in the face with a puff of cigar smoke," end quote. When asked if anyone saw smoke or if there might be an explanation, Deborah said, quote, "Well, that was the strange thing. There was no smoke, just the odor. We all smelled it," end quote. There are also many who claim to have felt the presence of Thomas Jr., the 18-month-old Whaley son who passed away in the home. It is reported that you can hear soft giggles throughout the house, as well as tiny footsteps downstairs and the unmistakable sound of a young child crying. But Thomas Whaley and his son aren't the only Whaley family members seen in the home. Visitors and staff have also seen a woman wearing a long dress slowly walking throughout the home and is believed to be Violet, who killed herself in the house. Others have smelled the strong smell of French perfume, which was Anna Whaley's signature scent. There have also been reports of lights turning on and off on their own, doors opening and closing, and the crystals on a lamp in the music room swinging on their own. With the Whaley House being one of the most haunted buildings in America, there are dozens of stories from those who have had unexplainable experiences inside the home. I recently asked on my Instagram for people to send me their paranormal stories from the Whaley House, and I received several that I'm going to read for you. The first one is from Jake, and he says, quote, "I've always been a bit iffy on the idea of the paranormal, but the Whaley House? Not cool. I had a horrible headache from the instant I stepped in and was very dizzy. And I'm not one prone to having dizzy spells. Upstairs, I saw these bright balls of light just zooming around. They were fast. I also took a picture of the corner in the courtroom that is supposedly a vortex," said the guide. "My best friend took one a minute later. In my picture, there is something in that corner. Three bright lights and a black face. The figure is leaning towards the room as if it's about to leap. I also felt some very cold spots. Once I stepped out of the house, my headache and dizziness were gone. I've never felt anything like that, and I hope to never again. In some of the pictures I took, several have a lot of foggy wisps of, I don't even know. I don't have any explanation for what I saw or felt, but to my dying day, I'll say this. That place is haunted," end quote. Another story was sent in from Vanessa and said, quote, "I visited the Whaley House with my boyfriend. I've always been extremely sensitive to the paranormal, and I instantly hit it off with our tour guide because of it. As soon as we went into the house, my heart started to hurt. It felt like a pinching feeling, like something similar to a pencil had punctured it. I brushed it off as heartburn or some repercussion from smoking and being in an old house. The first thing I wanted to do was go upstairs and visit a room that was on the right end of the house. It's close to the window with the chair. I couldn't part from it. I just wanted to stand there all day. Eventually, my boyfriend dragged me away and we went back downstairs. I started to talk to the tour guide over by the courthouse and I suddenly got dizzy and lost my balance. I was standing completely still. The lady had to practically catch me. Then my boyfriend's phone randomly malfunctioned and turned off. She explained that phones screw up a lot in the house due to the strong activity. We moved over to the living room. It's chained off from the public. I began to tell her about other experiences I've had, and as I stood there, I got dizzy again and had to lean against the door jamb. She suggested that I should sit down, so I sat in the chair near the front door, and I instantly felt better. A couple of minutes later, I gravitated towards the door again. I guess our conversation got me excited and wanting to move about. I ended up dizzy and against the door jamb once again. She began to tell me the history of the house, and I found out that the bedroom I kept gravitating to was Violet Whaley's room. As the story went on, I realized that I must be pretty attracted to Violet because the door jamb that I kept leaning up against was the room where she passed away. The myth goes that she jumped out of the window in an attempt to commit suicide. The tour guide told me that she actually shot herself in the heart in the outhouse in the back, and they carried her back into the living room. The living room was the door I was right next to. She told me that I was standing right next to the couch that she died on. My whole body just shook with terror. I knew that I was sensitive, but I didn't expect a spirit to attach herself to me. Eventually, my boyfriend and I left because they had a group coming in for a tour. I kept thinking about the outhouse and said that I wanted to go behind the house, even if it's not there anymore. We started to walk on the right side of the house, and suddenly my boyfriend topples over and starts crying. I didn't know what to do. I just stood there alarmed and recalled how the tour guide told me that they used to have hanging gallows outside of the house. He cried for a few minutes and kept explaining that he didn't know why he was crying and he couldn't stop, but he felt really sad. I told him what the tour guide told me and it made sense to him. He was able to pull himself together so he could go behind the house. I walked around unsure of what I was supposed to feel. I looked up and saw the window next to Violet's room. Suddenly I hit this patch of grass and all of a sudden I feel as if someone has their hands around my throat, like a really tight turtleneck. I didn't get too scared because it wasn't very strong. I'm not sure if I was feeling some type of reaction from Violet shooting herself, but it just kind of threw me off guard. I stood there just to capture the moment and explain to my boyfriend what I felt in detail. And after that, we left. That's my Whaley ghost story, end quote. Our third story comes from Jess, and she says, quote, I'm a native San Diegan and have visited the Whaley House countless times. I've only experienced paranormal activity twice. The first time was when I was about 12 or 13. I'm 24 now, so this was a while ago. My family and I were in Old Town for lunch and decided to take a tour of the Whaley House just for fun. It was mid-afternoon when we started our tour. I snapped pictures in every room as our guide explained the home's history. After each picture I took, I would zoom in and examine it in hopes of finding something paranormal. Out of the crap ton of photos I took, only three had something interesting in them. Two of the pictures taken in the courtroom and the theater had very distinct, large, perfectly circular orbs in them. The third picture, also taken in the theater, was a bit creepy. There seemed to be a black shadow hiding behind the curtains on the stage. I was super excited and was looking forward to examining them on my computer once I got home. So our tour ended and we walked out. When we were outside of the Whaley House, I suddenly had the strong urge to check the pictures again, but they were gone. Every picture I had taken in the home was gone. I never knew how to explain that because all of my other pictures on the camera were fine. My second experience was a few summers ago. My boyfriend and I decided to take a nighttime tour of the house after eating at Bara Bara Saloon. Things were strange from the very start. I felt like someone was watching me and standing behind me the entire time I was in the home. Things got really strange when we entered the dining room. As soon as we entered, the entire vibe of the group changed. There seemed to be this really dark vibe in there. People started sweating profusely. Yes, it was summer and it's already stuffy in the home, but I'm talking about like way hotter than it should have been. We were dripping sweat. Our guide was telling us some of the paranormal encounters in that particular room when a woman in the group suddenly fainted. She legit dropped straight to the floor. The people she was with immediately helped her up. As soon as she stood up, the door, I don't know which room it led to, but the door towards the back of the dining room slammed shut all on its own. The door closed so forcefully that the person standing next to it and our guide practically jumped out of their skin. Our guide even looked terrified and told us, "That happens all the time. I don't like this room," and led us out. Nothing else, besides that constant feeling of being watched, happened until towards the end of our tour. So we walked down the stairs and we're standing in front of the rooms that have the velvet ropes in the doorway. I'm not sure what room this is, maybe the parlor? My boyfriend started to move the velvet rope as he was waiting for some people to move out of our way. I was just minding my own business when my boyfriend said, "Oh my God," and suddenly stopped playing with the rope. I asked what was wrong, and he just motioned towards the rope. He would push the rope, enough so that it noticeably swung, and after about two swings, it would come to a complete stop, as if someone was stopping it with their hands. He did that a couple times, but then got really scared. He told me to try swinging the rope. I did, and it felt like if something was on the other side was pushing it back, preventing me from pushing the rope. It was weird, and we left ASAP, end quote. This next story comes from Haley, and she says, quote, I grew up in Humble and was stationed in San Diego while I was in the Navy. I fell in love with the city and decided to stay when I got out. A couple of years ago, my now husband took me on a ghost tour for my birthday. That year, my birthday happened to fall on Friday the 13th, so it was perfect. The tour was on an old trolley car in Old Town San Diego. It's called Ghosts and Gravestones, and it took us through all the haunted sites, with the end destination being the Whaley House. The second I walked up to the building, I got this very heavy feeling. I almost didn't want to go in, but of course I did. The first part of the house tour, we sat in the living room that was once used as a courthouse. I was still feeling this anxious feeling while the guide was talking, and honestly, I can't even remember what he was saying. The tour took us through the rest of the house, and I just kept feeling like something was not right. I had been perfectly fine all night going through graveyards and walking through a park that was literally made over the tops of graves. But there's just some energy coming out of this house that is very negative. Upstairs, there's a room where they used to have plays, and I literally broke down and had a panic attack while I was in there. I felt like there was a million people surrounding me and all talking at the same time. At that point, though, it was our guide talking about the history. There weren't a bunch of people just standing around and talking. I know that they used to hang people in the backyard of the house since it also acted as a courthouse, and I think one of the daughters committed suicide, or so the legend goes. So I really feel like I was picking up some residual energy there. I felt bad because I didn't want to seem like I was having a terrible time, but I had to leave. While I didn't see anything, I definitely picked up a lot of energy there. This is not something that happens to me all the time, but I have definitely been sensitive to energies in different points of my life. It was such a weird experience because, like I said before, I was having a great time through all the rest of the night. I haven't gone back to try to dig deeper on it, although I kind of want to, end quote. All right, and the last story is a bit of a long one that I found on Reddit from an anonymous user that I just thought was very well written and entertaining, and I want to read it. It says, quote, when I first glimpsed Old Town San Diego, I wanted none of it. A quick scan of the main street showed souvenir shops, not restaurants, and I wasn't in the mood for cowboy-themed shot glasses or Old West-themed bumper stickers. I was hungry and didn't want to play spooky Old West. After about 45 minutes of those exact things, I was fed up and famished. I guided my companion toward a courthouse when I saw more activity and possible food. We stepped into the courtyard and were greeted by a very old and large tree. I looked toward it to comment on its age and size. I wanted to say something funny, positive, and friendly. I wanted to try to change the evening's vibe due to my disagreeable mood. "That's the hanging tree," I proclaimed with an air of assurance and familiarity. My statement puzzled us both, and I realized I didn't know what or why I was saying that. "How do you know that?" she demanded. I stopped and responded nervously, turning to her and admitting, "I'm not sure." That answer satisfied neither of us, but we kept walking. We strolled the edges of the courtyard, examining the shops for any kind of restaurant. We circled the back of the tree and started to exit the courtyard. I kept my eye on that old tree as if expecting it to explain itself to me more. I didn't like being in Old Town or in that courtyard. I suddenly really needed to leave. I quickened my pace to exit the courtyard, hugging the side of a house, when I suddenly felt what I can only describe as static electricity coming from the house, affecting the right side of my body. This fuzziness wrapped around my arm, shoulder, neck, and head. The sensation, as best as I can remember it, made me feel as if I was suddenly a part of something. I started to enjoy the tingle, but then pulled away, bumping into my girlfriend slightly. Her physical body grounded me for a moment. "There's something wrong with this house. Something's there." My words were desperate and just flowing as if I wasn't choosing them. I now felt a renewed, stronger sense of this electricity. This fuzziness was as if I was standing outside of a very, very hot steam room. I couldn't actually feel anything, but I had no doubt there was something. "Is it a restaurant?" she asked. "No, I mean, there's something wrong here. I feel weird," I said. It was an understatement. I wasn't able to articulate everything I was experiencing. I wanted to scream the words, but tried to remain calm and in control. I started to almost feel dizzy and short of breath. She got the hint and pulled her head back, squinting at me. "You don't see dead people. Come on, stop. I'm hungry too," trying to keep us on task. "No, this isn't a joke. This is real. I spoke listlessly, so I tried to accentuate my point by looking in through a window into the house and urging her to do the same. We noticed items through the window that made me think this house was preserved since the late 1800s, and I offered that to her as proof that something was going on. She didn't accept my observations and became annoyed. I was transfixed and pulling ahead of her. I began hurrying toward the front house to find the front door and get inside. We reached the front of the house, greeted by a young girl wearing Winona Ryder's costume from Beetlejuice, or so it looked, and another man wearing the costume of an undertaker from the late 1800s. We stopped quickly. They turned and smiled at us as they stopped chatting and stepped into character, not hiding the theatrics of it. The man took a step toward us and bowed slightly, saying, "Welcome to the Whaley House, the most haunted house in the U.S. registry." I immediately felt a sense of relief mixed with a sense of dread. I turned to my partner, who had widened her eyes, dropped her jaw, and turned pale. "See," I whispered, "I'm not crazy. This is real." But I did feel crazy for the first time ever. I actually questioned my own sanity, wondered if this was an episode, as people who talk about nervous breakdowns refer to them. I felt dizzy, scared, nauseous, and strangely excited. I needed to find why this was happening. I needed to find the source. The two actors tried to sell us on paying for entry, but I didn't hear anything. I just gave them two $20 bills and stepped through the open door. A docent also greeted us and began to talk, but I stepped past him and walked into the large courtroom to the left, moving with compulsion. The fuzziness that was around the house was inside as well, so I didn't notice when I walked inside. I only really noticed it change when I moved from the house to the attached courtroom. The fuzziness was now less like electricity and more like sound, as if I just stepped into a room full of people screaming and arguing, except the room was completely empty and quiet. My chest began to tighten and I needed to sit. I felt like I couldn't breathe and sat quickly in a middle row bench of the courtroom, staring at the judge's bench, too afraid to look anywhere else. My partner drifted up next to me with a concerned look on her face and sat down silently. "Can you feel all of this?" I asked, believing that she wouldn't and pretty sure I would be mocked. "Yes, this place is weird, heavy." I was surprised by her response, but relieved that I wasn't alone in these sensations. "Let's get out of here," I said as I took her hand and pulled her toward the house entrance. That feeling of silent screaming following me, and I desperately wanted it to stop. As we crossed back into the house, it did stop. In fact, everything stopped. We were just in an old preserved house, and I felt nothing peculiar. Within a split second, everything lifted, and my mood changed to annoyed disbelief. "I can't believe we paid for this," I said out loud. Strangely, my girlfriend agreed. "Really, this is all kind of dumb, but let's walk through the rest of the house and get our money's worth at least." She agreed casually. As I look back, this transition in attitude for both of us is one of the most concerning things about that night. I followed her through the room, scoffing at the stories each spot supposedly held. I forgot about every feeling I had outside in the courtyard or in the courtroom. It was as if this valve to a power source had been shut tight and my mind was wiped clean of the memory. We made our way to the second floor and took photos in each room as suggested by the docent. At the top of the stairs, we settled into one of the larger rooms that had a stage built into it for entertaining. This was called the theater room. We both thought it was charming and hung in there for a while. A family of four came up the stairs and joined us. They looked frightened and concerned. They were suspiciously checking behind doors, down the hallway. It felt as if they were also actors. I began to become more annoyed. "We come here every year," the father explained. "After my first visit, something happened, so I've made it a point to return at least once a year." "Wait, what happened here?" I asked. "Well, the first visit is hard to explain, but the last visit before I met my wife really stands out to me." He checks on his wife and kids, and she nods, allowing him to continue, but takes the two boys out of the room. "Well," he continued, "I came here a while back and was excited to see the place. So I get to the stairs, and on my way up towards the room, I notice that the plastic divider stopping people from entering is giving off a reflection from inside the room, a reflection of a fireplace lit and burning." He coughs nervously. "You see, they used to keep a divider up and not let anyone in here. So when I see that they turned on the fireplace, I get excited. So I'm wondering why they would do that and not remove the divider in the doorframe. I get to the door, peek my head in toward the fireplace, and it's completely cold, just as it is now. There's no fire." That's when I get a cold chill and step back slowly, looking for a reflection in the divider, and I see it. I see the reflection of the room and the fireplace in full blaze, yet I look back in and no fire, nothing. He just locks eyes with me. He's scared and he isn't lying. He believes this happened. "And then what?" I pleaded. "I ran. That was enough for me for one visit. I just ran right back to my pickup and left. His wife and two boys re-enter the room. One boy of about 7 is biting his nails. Again, my thinking turned dark as if I'm convinced I'm surrounded by liars trying to con me. I became angry, stepping away from everyone as if not wanting to be part of this charade. What I'm feeling doesn't make sense. I'm starting to feel dizzy again, as if that valve is reopening. I walk over to the window on the rear side next to the stage. I look outside to gain my sense of balance and wish that I was out there in the street where it was simpler and I wasn't tormented. The nausea kicks back in and I get a strange feeling that I may not be able to leave this room. "Is everything okay in here?" the docent asked, breaking our silence. We all just stared at him blankly. "You've all been in this room a while, and it's reported to have the most activity, so I came to just, check on you guys." As if on cue, the family and my girlfriend start slowly leaving the theater room. "You disgust me," I thought. "You want me out when I paid you money to be here, asshole." These thoughts of mine get angrier and darker as everyone else starts to shuffle out of the room. I began thinking loudly as if talking. "I can stay here as long as I fucking want. I'll sleep here if I feel like. It's because there is nothing here and this is all a hoax. Asshole." As these uncontrolled, dark, defiant thoughts formed, I noticed movement. My movement. I thought I was standing still in angry protest, but I wasn't. I was moving towards the door. As I reached the edge of the theater door, I felt my collar on the back of my shirt release, as if someone had been holding it. Simultaneously, I stepped through the doorway and stumbled around halfway to find no one in back of me. The room was completely empty. I spun back around to face my travel partner, who seemed amused at my animated movements. "Please, give me the camera," I said. She handed me the camera that was hanging around her neck. I grabbed it from her quickly, spun back around facing the theater room, held the camera in front of me at chin level, and snapped a photo. "If you want to take a photo of that room, you need to step inside. You got most of the doorway in that shot," she said. "It's fine," I said, handing her the camera. "I'm never going into that room again." 2 weeks later, my girlfriend called me from work. I answered the phone, hearing her say quickly, "We got something." "Huh? What? Where? What do you mean?" "The Old Town San Diego photos. There's something in one of them." I didn't believe it, nor did I recall the experience very well, but I agreed to meet her that night and take a look. She came to my place and dumped a stack of photos on my lap. "Here, see if you can find it," she challenged. I quickly looked through the 50 or so photos. "There's nothing here. What are you talking about?" I said lazily. "Are you serious? Okay, look at these," she said as she handed me 3 specific photos of inside the Whaley house. I focused on them and then remembered the courtyard and the tree, and I started to get chills. I held a photo. That's when the figure in the window presented itself, himself, to me. The shape, whatever, seemed to push away from the 2D photo world and into my space like a 3D hologram. I dropped the photos and turned cold. "You see it," she said. "Yeah, there's something." We proceeded to look at the photos, study it, and I played along until she left me with it. After she left, I felt deeply disturbed. It went against all common sense. I didn't and still don't understand it. I don't want this to be real or to have happened. To this day, the story is hard to tell, and the memories are uncomfortable to feel. Maybe writing about it will capture them and put them to rest. I can only hope. End quote. Okay, so that's going to be it for today's episode. I think, hopefully, there was enough creepy content in this to still be scary, even if you've never visited the Whaley House. Although I've never been there, I definitely believe the people who have had experiences there. And honestly, I think it's highly unlikely for any old building to not have some type of residual energy left over from those who live there, especially in a home like the Whaley House that did see so many horrible things happen. It seems like these spirits had a connection to the home, whether good or bad, and they remained there because it was a place that was comfortable and familiar for them. And it sounds like these spirits kind of just mind their own business or do things here and there, but they don't seem to be hostile. So it sounds like a great place to offer public tours like this and let people see for themselves if they feel something there. I think it's really interesting how a lot of these stories seem to have very similar details. A lot of people have that feeling of someone watching them, of a tight chest, of feeling like there's people around them talking loudly and there's commotion when there's nothing. The courtroom definitely seems to have a lot of activity in there. And that's also in that BuzzFeed Unsolved video, which I mentioned at the beginning, that is where one of them had their experience as well. So it sounds like there's definitely something going on in there. If you're listening and you've been to the Whaley House and had an experience, I would love to hear it. and I can include it in my next small town spooky episode. I had a lot of fun researching this episode and reading the listener stories, so let me know if you guys liked this episode and would enjoy more haunted location episodes, or let me know if you didn't really enjoy this, and maybe it wasn't scary for you since you've never been to the home and you don't really have any context for it. Really, just let me know your honest opinions. I promise it will not hurt my feelings. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and for supporting the show. I appreciate every single one of you. I hope you guys all have a spooky, safe, happy Halloween. And I'm currently working on another episode, so I'm hoping to get that out sometime in November. So keep an eye out for that. All right. Until next time, cheers and stay weird.